This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. When it comes to our bodies, there are a few bodily functions, well, let's say that we're usually discouraged from talking about, like releasing gas with a burp or a gas that comes out of the other end. You know what I mean? But if you're a cow, there's a lot of scientific work that goes into analyzing what's coming out in the gas you release. That's because the cattle industry is one of the largest producers of methane gas, a huge contributor to global warming. While some people are leaning away from beef, trying to limit their carbon footprint, the industry isn't going away anytime soon. So what if we could feed cows something that seriously decreases the amount of methane they release? Joining me today is a researcher who's looking into this very question, Dr. Emmaus Kebrab, Associate Dean and Professor of Animal Science at the University of California in Davis. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you for having me, Ira.
You're welcome. Now, I know in your research, you're feeding cattle something that they would never come across in nature, right?
This particular seaweed, yes, you're right. But the cows actually, and ruminants sometimes, they do forage on seaweed if they are close to a seashore.
So seaweed, you're giving them as part of their main diet?
Not really. We're giving them very little amount of seaweed. So maybe between 1 to 3 ounces of seaweed added to their normal diet. So we would not change their diet at all. We just put a little bit of seaweed into their diet.
And you found that putting seaweed in cows' diets cuts methane emissions by how much?
We found it to cut emissions up to 80 or even a little bit more than 80%.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to absorb that. You're putting a tiny bit of seaweed in their diet, but you're cutting emissions by 80%.
That's exactly right. Yes, by putting this a little bit of seaweed to the diet without changing the diet whatsoever, we are seeing a reduction of methane emissions by up to 80% and sometimes even more than that.
And how do you explain that?
The explanation is that the seaweed that we're using has active ingredients that would block or inhibit some of the enzymes that are required by the microbes in the gut of the animal. So the gas is actually being produced by the microbes in the gut of the animal. And those microbes require a certain steps to make methane. So they make methane from hydrogen that's released by other microbes when they are fermenting food and fiber. And so the process takes them into this using a certain specific enzyme to convert hydrogen and carbon dioxide into methane. And what the seaweed is doing is that through its active ingredients, halogenated compounds, it inhibits that last step of converting into methane. So it will not go into that last step. So what we will see is that hydrogen would be released instead of methane.
Hmm. Is there something about a cow's digestive system that makes this happen?
Yes, exactly. The cow is sort of a special animal, and it's the animal that really utilizes things that we cannot eat, like grass and hay and all that. And the reason it does that is because it's working with thousands of different type of microbes in its gut to help it break down, particularly cellulose. And during that process is when all these gases are released and other microbes have evolved to take advantage of that, the fact that there is a lot of hydrogen and carbon dioxide within the rumen. And so they use that and they grow their cells, and the byproduct of that is they produce methane as well.
This is all so amazing. How long did it take to see this change in the methane emissions? Was it right away? Did it take some time?
That's the surprising part, is that as soon as we put in, within a day, we could see that change. As soon as we put it in the next day, we measured the emissions, and we can see already quite a huge drop. So it works pretty quickly.
Wow, the next day. And the study you were doing, the study is in beef cattle. Does adding seaweed in the cow's diet change how, for example, they taste?
Actually, we did that work. We actually had about 112 people to taste the meat that was prepared from animals that were given the seaweed and those were not given the seaweed. And they could not detect any difference in terms of the taste, the juiciness, or anything like that. So we did this with people tasting this the meat or steak, But also we looked at sort of proximate analysis, which is looking at what is in the meat. And so we did a scientific analysis of the components of the meat, and we did not see any significant difference as well.
Interesting. So much for the academic study. I want to bring along someone who is a dairy farmer whose cows will enter a seaweed trial this summer, Albert Strauss, founder and CEO of Strauss Family Creamery in Marshall, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira.
Albert, why are you volunteering your cows for this experiment?
So I have an organic dairy farm. We were the first certified organic dairy and creamery west of the Mississippi River and first 100% certified organic creamery in the United States. Our mission is to sustain family farms by producing 100% high-quality organic food, dairy products, and help revitalize rural communities through education advocacy everywhere. So my goal is to have an economic, viable farming model that is good for the planet, good for the environment, and at the same time, producing high-quality organic food for the local community. So when I heard that red seaweed was a potential solution to methane emissions from the cows, I was very excited. I gave a goal 3 years ago to my sustainability director to be carbon neutral on my farm by the end of 2021 and expand it to the other farms that supply us by the end of the decade, the other 11 farms. And it's made up of four things. One is we have a methane digester that takes the manure from the cows and captures the methane and makes all electricity for the farm. And we're actually collaborating with BMW to take advantage of selling the carbon credits for that. Second part is that we have the first dairy to have a carbon farm plan, which is using compost and using animals to graze. And it's been shown that we can sequester carbon back into the soil from the atmosphere, and it's recognized internationally as one of the only ways to reverse climate change rather than reduce it. And then the third part was the red seaweed. Almost half of the methane that's emitted by cows comes from their belches, not their farts. And so that was the third part of my goal, is if we could feed this little amount of red seaweed to the cows, that would be a very exciting part of it. And the fourth thing is we've converted our vehicles on the farm to be electric. Our truck to feed the cows is electric and is powered by the cows that it feeds. So this fit very nicely into that model, and we've been collaborating with Amias and his team, and we want to be the first commercial trial in the United States for this.
So you want to be a pioneer in sustainable farming. I mean, it seems like you're already on that pathway.
Yeah, we've tried to create a model of farming that's sustainable economically, environmentally, and producing high-quality food in a local and regional model that other communities can replicate throughout the United States and throughout the world.
Have you fed your cows interesting things like this before?
I've fed all kinds of interesting things over the years. I've tried tofu waste. I still feed. That's organic. Sake waste, cocoa bean hulls. I've done a lot of different things, because for dairy cows, most of the feeds, as bad as a reputation as they have, they take a lot of the waste products and convert it into milk, into protein. And so, well, the interesting thing is for organic cows, they have to be on pasture as much as they can and get most of their feed from pasture during the growing season. But by feeding this forage, they're actually producing more methane, because the bacteria that digest the grasses also give off methane.
Seaweed's quite slimy and stringy. I guess you're not plopping seaweed into their bowls. You're turning the seaweed first into little pellets and then feeding it to your cows, basically.
Yeah, I think it's freeze-dried, and so it's a powder that we'll mix into their feed.
Do you know where the source of your seaweed comes from? Does it come from, say, kelp beds in California or other seaweed beds in California?
No, I think it's subtropical, and I think this initial batch came from the Azores. They are trying to grow it in Southern California as well as Hawaii. So I think they're trying to create a commercialization of the seaweed so it can expand it rapidly.
Hermes, is there more research that has to be done to make better seaweed, or are you pretty happy with the product that you've got now?
Oh, no, there is actually some research that's going on right now at the University of California, San Diego, where they're looking at what type of seaweed or sort of the variety of seaweed and the potential to make even better quality of the active ingredients can be grown and can be used as well. So there is a lot of research that's going on to try to make sure that we get the right amount of seaweed. So one thing that we have to remember is that when feeding seaweed, we try to give them as little as possible. Too much seaweed, the palatability might be compromised. So to try to make sure that we're giving them as little as possible so they don't even notice that it is there, then we need to find a better quality of seaweed. So that work is going on right now. And hopefully we will find seaweed that is potent enough so that when we give it to the cows and steers, it will be 1 or 2 ounces or even less than that.
1 or 2 ounces, Albert, that's like you don't even know it's there, I guess, when you're feeding a cow.
Right. We feed a vitamin mineral supplement to the cows. So this would replace part of that supplement. And so it's a very little part of their feed, but it'd be blended in with the rest of the feed. So it's evenly dispersed throughout their feed that they eat every day.
Are there other farmers who you know who are watching what you're doing and waiting to see the results?
My farm has kind of been the trial spot to prove, you know, organic farming. That's, people thought I was crazy when I went organic, but now 85% of the dairies in our two counties are certified organic. I have a methane digester that was one of the first ones in California. So a lot of these trials that I do are to kind of prove to other farmers that it's a viable solution to a problem. I know that farmers want to do a good job and want to be in a positive light and create a healthy food for the community.
This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Talking to Dr. Hermes Cabrab, Associate Dean and Professor of Animal Science at the University of California in Davis, Albert Strauss, founder and CEO of the Strauss Family Creamery in Marshall, California. I know you're a farmer who clearly cares a lot about sustainability and being a good steward of the land. I know that listening to you now. But what do you think it will take for other cattle and dairy farmers to take action on the methane emissions of their cows? I mean, I imagine there is an economic, right, a large economic question here. Can I make money doing this? And what's the answer to that?
I think that California, as well as nationally and internationally, we're addressing climate change and really trying to make a solution. In California, we have a law to reduce our methane emissions by 40% by 2030. And a part of the solution is the dairy industry and the livestock industry. So there's a kind of a carrot and a stick. I think we're trying to show that you can economically feed this. It won't have any detrimental effect. Hopefully it'll have only a positive effect, and that other farms, by adding it into their feed rations, that it'll be a positive solution. And so I think as we work collaboratively to address climate change, this is really one of the main solutions that we have and really can highlight agriculture as being a positive part of our society and a needed part of our society.
There are two ways in which farmers can make money out of this. One is what we saw is that there was an improvement in efficiency. There was about 20% improvement in efficiency, which means that you would need less amount of money to get the same gain. And so that would basically reduce the cost of the farmer to feed the animals. And the second way is to what Albert alluded to, is to claim carbon credit. And one of the things that we are doing actually now with the help of the California Dairy Research Foundation is to come up with a protocol. So you need to have a protocol to be able to show that when you reduce carbon, you know, how much carbon you're reducing and what you're doing and all that needs a protocol. And that's what we're doing right now to try to develop this protocol so that farmers can take credit, not just with seaweed, but any type of mitigation that reduces methane emissions, enteric methane emissions, they can take advantage of that.
Is there another additive, I'm going to call it, besides seaweed that you're looking at?
Oh, yeah. So we are looking at several different type of feed additives. We've looked at an additive called Mutrol that reduces emissions by about 23% or so. We've looked at a new additive that's we just finished. So I don't have the results yet, but we just finished looking at a new additive. And we've done an analysis of an additive that a lot of experiments have been conducted. And we've seen the 3NOP, or it's called Bovire, reduces methane emissions by up to 30% as well.
Albert, are you going to be able to see an 80% reduction in methane? Are you able to measure it in your cows when you feed them the seaweed?
So the trial that we will be doing this summer will have a measuring device that measures the belches from the cows and it analyzes it. So we'll be able to get that data.
And when will you begin giving your cattle seaweed?
We're hoping to do it after pasture season in July or August this year.
Well, maybe we'll check back with you, see how it's going.
That'd be terrific.
Thank you both, gentlemen, for taking time to talk with us. I wish both of you good luck, because this is a kind of thing that we'd love to hear about, where you are able to come up with new ideas and hopefully make global climate change something we can live with. Dr. Emmaus Kibrab is Associate Dean and Professor of Animal Science, University of California in Davis. Albert Strauss, founder and CEO of Strauss Family Creamery in Marshall, California. Thanks again. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Ira.